up for parole. Tonight, CBS presents another in the exciting crime series, Up for Parole. Authentic cases as actually presented before parole boards in your state prisons, reenacted here for the first time. The case of Margot Owens.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to sit in judgment on another human being. To decide whether she shall become your neighbor, your employee, perhaps your friend, or remain where you, society, have put her, behind prison bars. Therefore, listen carefully and consider seriously the story you are about to hear, told from the official records of Margot Owens, prison number BP-45-2, now pleading before the parole board and before you for her freedom.
State your name and prison number, please.
Margot Owens. BP-45-2 is my prison number, sir.
How old are you, Margot?
22.
Tell this board the charges on which you were convicted.
Attempt to kill someone.
You mean felonious assault with intent to murder?
That's right.
And the other charge?
Violation of parole.
Sentence now being served.
3 to 6 years.
Proceed.
I served 4 years and 6 months of my sentence, and the prison warden gave me her permission to ask for parole.
Why do you think this board should grant you parole, Margot?
The main reason, Mr. Chairman, is I want to see my baby. My baby is 4 years and 3 months. She was born in prison. I only saw her twice in my life.
Now, there's no need for being upset, Margot. This board's going to give you a fair and just hearing. We aren't your enemies. We want you to know that.
Yes, sir.
All right, now. Go ahead, Margot.
Kane City, where I was born and grew up, has about 3,000, 4,000 people. It's in the farm country north of here. I went to school until I was 8 or maybe 9 and then to work. Pop got me a job where he worked in a carpet factory when I was 12. Ma was dead when I was 2. Sometimes I wish Pa would have died, too. My sister Laverne, she was 4 years older. And... well, you know how these things happen. Laverne had a baby. And no husband.
Where is she? Your own father comes home to dinner, he can't find a thing in the house. Where is she?
Laverne went away to a friend's place about, 2 months before the baby was born and had it. She came back that night, leaving the baby at her friend's.
Where's Laverne? Where is she?
I was getting you supper, Pop. I had to stop by.
Stand still. Let me take a good look.
Oh, Pa, please. No, let go, please.
Did you think I was so blind drunk I didn't even see what was happening to you, huh? You thought you fooled me, huh? Went out and had a good time. Where'd you leave her? I want to see your baby.
Let go. I'll get you something to eat.
You're all the same, every one of you. Your mother was like that. And this one here, watching and listening with her big eyes. Margot, she's headed there, too. Boy, I'm going to stop you both. You hear? The both of you.
Why, you're hurting.
As soon as you get along 2 minutes, you're in trouble. But you'll never do it again. Not you. And that's you.
I was 15 the day that happened. And the next day we ran away, both of us. But not together. Laverne went, I don't know where, and I never saw her again. And I went to the county seat, town nearby, and I got a job as a maid for Mr. Amo Peraz, who owned the general store.
Walk across the room. You'll have to do a little waiting on the table once in a while when I have guests. I want to see how you walk.
The job was keeping his house clean, serving when guests came, cooking, washing, and taking care of Mrs. Peraz, who was sick with the diabetes and high blood pressure, and and doing whatever else Mr. Perez wanted. He was about 40, and he always had the same look in his eye.
I think you'll do fine. Just fine. I want you down at the store once in a while and get you a nice uniform. You'll help out there, too. You don't have a bad figure, you know that.
Thank you, sir.
Did you bring your things with you?
Yes, sir.
You'll find the room down this hall to the left. Come on, I'll show you.
I'll find it.
I don't mind showing you. Hold still.
Oh, Mr. Perez, your wife...
Hold still, hold still. You'll do wonderful.
Mrs. Perez couldn't have weighed more than 100 pounds, maybe even 95. And her voice was never more than, well, you know, like a whisper.
You take care of things, Margot. Work hard and do a good job. Keep the house clean. He likes beer in the icebox and the bourbon. Always see there's a quart in the side table.
Yes, ma'am.
You won't have to do much for me. Oh, a sponge now and then and a little food. And in about 6 months or so, when I'm dead, if you do what he wants...
Oh, you don't mean that, Mrs. Perez.
I do. I do. Make him pay for what he does. Make him marry you. You can do it. You're a good-looking girl. And I hope when I'm dead, you get what you want.
Oh, ma'am, you got it all wrong.
Maybe so. Do me one favor while I'm still alive. The walls in this house, they're paper thin. And bring me a wash rag, dear. My hands are sticky.
And you lived this way, Margot Owens, for how long was it?
7 months, Mr. Chairman.
Did he hurt you? Was he cruel to you?
I'm used to being hurt. After all, sir, you got to take the bad with the good.
Proceed, please.
His wife died, and he buried her, and he put up a little stone, and we walked back after the funeral, back to the house. He never said a word all the way back from the cemetery, over a mile. And then...
Margot, I want you to stay.
But, Mr. Perez, I...
Don't you want to stay?
We just came from the funeral.
Don't preach to me. Margot, I need you. I want you to stay.
You mean the way you said it before? Married?
Of course.
I just asked you.
Of course. What kind of a person do you think I am? Only, Margot, I don't think it would be right. I mean, it wouldn't look good. Right after my wife's died and so on, it'd be bad for my business. What would people say? You see that. This is a big city, an important city. My business is a big and important business. You know that. You wouldn't be the sales girl in the store anymore or the maid. You'd be my wife. And look at you. Look at your hands. The clothes you wear, the way you talk. You see, you'd cost me money. You'd lose money for me. You might hurt the business. The way you are.
I'm not going to stay unless we get married.
Now, listen to me. The way you are, you aren't right to be the wife of an important businessman in town. Don't you see that? Suppose I brought the judge or the sheriff home for dinner, or those stylish folk from up the hill.
Oh, I'd never know what to say, I know.
Yes, yes, you see, that's what I'm telling you. Look, you know about my sister who lives on the other side of town. Here's what I think. You go live with her. She's got a fine education. She went to college for 2 years. She'll take you in and teach you manners. How to talk, how to walk, how to serve. And then, when you're right, you know what I mean? You can sit down at the head of the table. Be a lady. That's what you want, isn't it?
You want me to live at your sister's?
It isn't a lot to do, Margot. We're going to have a whole life ahead of us. I want you, Margot. And I am going to marry you.
Well, now let me see you walk over to the table and sit down. So you're the little... what's the word for it? That he's yearning and whining for. That he sent to me to make a silk purse out of. Emil's growing old. His taste once upon a time was for so much more.
He said you were going to teach me things and you aren't supposed to talk to me like that. I'm going to be his wife.
I thought I wasn't going to enjoy this. But I think I really am. You know what I'm going to do? You and I are going to do something. Something very, very exciting. I'm going to teach you how to walk and how to sit and how to talk and how to sew. I'm going to teach you how to dress and how to wear your hair and what perfume to use.
Will you?
Yes, all of it. And I'll tell you why. Because he isn't going to marry you.
Oh, but he told me only yesterday
My brother is one of the best liars in the world. Now you listen to me. After I've finished with you, and you know all these things, you're a good-looking girl. But then you'll drive him out of his mind. And that's when you're going to turn him down. Do you hear me? Right now, he doesn't want to marry you. But then he'll want to. He'll want you more than anything he's ever wanted in his life, and you'll turn him down. You're going to make him crawl and squirm and scream. You'll tell him that you won't marry him. He cheated me out of the store. That was supposed to be mine. He's made me crawl and scream, and now with you, I'm going to do the same with him. Now get up from the table and walk to the living room. I said walk!
Emil was bad, but he was good, too. And if he hurt me, he was tender sometimes. Oh, but not her. She was like a knife, or like a fire, or like a file. She never hit me, but ooh, that tongue of hers. She made me feel worse than dirt. And when I said to him, marry me now, please.
Not yet. You're not ready yet. You're not a lady yet.
Please marry me.
Come here. Hold still.
I had to run away. I had to run away from the both of them. So I went as far as I could go, oh, 100 miles to a big railroad city there, and I got a job as a governess with a real nice family. And it happened while I was wheeling their baby in the park.
Margot?
Mr. Perez!
You didn't think I'd lose you, did you?
Why don't you leave me
alone? You better get back to the house because they want their baby back. They don't trust their baby with you. You're an immoral, delinquent girl, I told them.
You got me fired?
That's right.
Well, isn't it enough that you won't marry me, and now you won't even let me lead my own life?
I want you, Margot.
But why? Why do you do this to me? Do you hate me so much?
Girl, don't you know anything about a man's feelings? I want you. I want you so much I'd do anything. Anything, you hear me? You'll never get away from me again.
We will return to our file in just a moment, but first... This Sunday night, the Steve Allen Show will bring you Jack Benny, Groucho Marx, and Eve Arden as Steve's first guest. Guy Lombardo Time will bring you a half hour of music. The Pause That Refreshes will bring you music with Percy Faith's orchestra and singer Dorothy Kirsten. Lucille Ball, Red Skelton, Corliss Archer, Horace Hite, Dick Haymes, Joe Stafford, and Hit the Jackpot will also be on hand Sunday over most of these same CBS stations. Now, back to the true story of Margot Owens... Prison number BP-45-2. The woman who is up for parole.
Then you went back to this man, Emil Perez, who used, abused, and even tortured you because... Well, why, Margot?
Because no matter what he did, was the only man who was ever kind to me. And because I was going to have his baby.
Proceed.
When I told him, he didn't believe me. He said, "You're making it up to get me to marry you."
I told you all along I'd marry you, Margot, but I don't like it this way. You aren't ready yet. You know you aren't ready yet. You can't take over the house and the store. Be my wife, I mean.
Emil, I'm not saying I'm going to do anything, but you better marry me.
Are you threatening me?
Oh, can't you understand, Emil? I want to marry you. I want to have our baby. I want us to be like a father and a mother. And...
all right.
Hey, Mo.
We'll be married secretly. We'll go across the state line where nobody knows us.
Why?
You know why. Then you'll go to my sister's, and that's where you'll have the baby.
No.
I won't have you running all over the county, everybody knowing what's going on. You're going to have the baby quiet where nobody's going to know about it or see it.
No.
What else can you do? Somebody going to give you a job the way you are? You're going to go off in a barn somewhere? Now, look. I'll talk to my sister Maxine. It'll be different this time, I promise you. You'll see. I'll be over there regular.
But we'll be married first.
Tomorrow.
We got married. That was the only true thing he said. He said things would be different. He'd talk to his sister and he'd see me regular. He came twice to see me the whole 4 months before I had the baby. And his sister, she was even worse. I just couldn't stand it. So I ran away. Where was I to go? Only one place. So I went home. Home. Pa drunk in the bed. Same as always. And when he saw me...
Just like the rest of them, like I always said. Like your sister and your mother. Now you come crawling here to find a place where you can have somebody
Stop
else.
It! I'm married!
Oh, well, ain't that nice. Where's your ring, huh? Where's your license? Where's your husband?
Right here.
You.
Come on, Margot. What did you come here for? What did you think, that I wouldn't find you? You're going to blab it all over the county now?
Take your hands off that girl.
Oh, devotion. Well, watch, Pa.
Emil, please.
I said to come.
Yeah, I'll show you. It's my daughter, huh? I'll show you.
Put down that gun, you old stupid fool.
It's my girl, I am.
Give me that. Aim a gun at me, huh? Well, maybe it isn't etiquette to hit a new father-in-law in the face. You.
Emil, leave him alone.
What are you...
I've got the gun now. If you don't get out of here, so help me, Emil. Stay where you are. So help me, Emil. I'll...
My eyes. My God. I can't see.
They came and arrested me and took me to the women's prison. I was given 3 to 6 years for shooting with what the judge said. I can never remember the words.
Felonious assault with intent to murder.
Yes, sir. And the baby was born in prison. I saw the baby for the first time, Mr. Chairman, right after she was born. They let her lay with me in the bed. 10 minutes. And then they took her away and gave her to her father. Why does it have to be a girl?
When you came before this board, Margot Owens, 2 years ago, after having served one-third of your sentence and being eligible for parole, this board released you, sent you back to decent society, hoping that you would change. Now tell us what happened, why you violated that parole. We're sent back here.
I got out. Perez divorced me while I was in prison. Part of the condition of the parole was not to see the baby. And I tried to. Honest, I tried. I tried to get her out of my heart and out of my soul, and I just went as far away to a city 300 miles away from where she was. I got the hardest work I could get, scrubbing in a laundry. Heavy, hot work where I'd be tired by the end of the day. So tired that I'd just go to my room and lay down and go to sleep. But at night, even as dead as I was, I'd lay there and... Even then I'd hear it. The way I imagined, anyhow, she'd cry. So I'd drink. I'd drink to forget I ever had a baby and all that other stuff that ever happened to me. But I couldn't. I just couldn't get it out of my mind and out of my heart and out of my soul. I just had to see her. His sister had the baby. So I went to her house. I watched the house until I saw the lights go out in her room, his sister's, and then I waited for an hour until she went to sleep. Then I still had a key. I went up to the baby's room and I picked her up. And then the next thing I knew...
Put the baby down.
Oh, Emil, I only wanted...
Put the baby down.
Oh, can't I see her? Can't I just touch her and...
Give me the police.
Oh, don't. Emil, don't. Please, Emil.
Sheriff Dawes? Emil Perez talking.
Emil, please.
I want to report a most serious violation of parole. My former wife. That's right.
And so they picked me up for parole violation, and here I am. That's all.
If we give you the parole, and I'm not saying we shall, would you see your baby?
I wouldn't take the kind of parole you gave me before. If I can't see the baby, there's nothing to live for.
All right. This board, I think every decent person in the world listening to your story must feel enormous sympathy for you. Must be moved by what you said and how you said it. But, and this for me and for all of us on the board is a tremendous but, you took a gun and with intent to kill, you shot a man. You know, when physical violence is the only solution that a human being sees to a problem, you know, when emotions blast with white heat, how can such a person be trusted to return to decent society? Whatever may have happened to you, and I don't condone it, but in a civilized society, force of arms, the action such as you took, it just cannot be the solution for human problems. It's this, together with the story you just told us, that must be considered here. And now this board will consider your case. All right. Step outside with the guard, please.
While Margot Owens waits and the parole board reviews her story, you too have a decision to make. In a moment, you can compare your decision with that of the actual parole board before which she appeared.
This Saturday on CBS's Gangbuster Show, Senator Charles W. Toby, a member of the newly appointed Senate Committee to Investigate Crime, will give you listeners a glimpse of the committee's gigantic job following Gangbuster's dramatization of The Case of the Prairie Pearl Diver. Listen Saturday for Gangbusters on most of these CBS stations.
Now, the decision of the parole board in the case of Margot Owens. Prison number BP-45-2.
Margot Owens, I wish a good deal of what this board wants to say to you could be said to Emil Perez, to Maxine Perez's sister, to your father, and to the others who abused you in the course of your 22 years. They've been 22 years of misery, which would be enough for two lifetimes. You know, when a young woman or a young man is brought into this world, he's born with a need for affection and for security. And when this need is denied, as it has been so consistently denied you in your life, it tries to find solutions in the only way it knows how. Do you know what I mean, Margot?
I don't know, sir.
Well, each of us needs a father, needs a mother. And when our lives are mixed up because a mother dies or a father is what your father was, when life consists only of rejection and submission, well, then what happened to you has got to happen. Oh, I wish we could pick up the roofs of the houses of this land and look in and see how many, how very many children, babies today, yet because they face similar circumstances to yours, are the future Margot Owenses, unfortunate women like you in the making. And so, Margot Owens, it becomes our responsibility not to punish you, but to understand you. Not to do a lot of moralizing, but to help and to cure. And we feel that your life, with all of its sordidness, all of its unhappiness, you know, it shows an incredible flexibility of the human spirit. It shows that you love that child that you bore, that you cannot conceive of life without that child. And that when you realize, as you did when Perez struck your father, Perez wasn't someone you could place any faith in, any faith at all, you turned and though you did wrong, you defended your father. And this, Margot, is fundamental. It's on this very thing that you will build and grow and live.
You mean you're going to let me out?
I have a letter here, which is signed by six citizens of your town. Six citizens who know your full story and have written voluntarily saying, because people are decent, that they'll help you get respectable employment. And Margot never cursed the day that she was born a girl. For if she finds what you didn't find, the warmth, the security, and the affection, you take my word for it, she'll grow up a good woman. And in that life, you know, I think you too will find yourself. Parole granted. Next case.
Today, Margot Owens may be your neighbor, your friend, or the woman you saw the other day waiting on tables in the neat restaurant in which she has a part interest. The woman with the lovely 9-year-old daughter. Her story was told in the interests of thousands upon thousands of men and women who have served their time in American prisons, who have been given another chance to create and achieve for themselves a decent, honest, and useful life. In your community. Margot Owens' story was also presented in behalf of those prisoners in our penal institutions who someday may be up for parole.
You have been listening to Up for Parole with Shirley Blank as Margot Owens. Written by Arnold Pearl and produced and directed by Mitchell Grayson. Research by Wally Gould. Music was under the direction of Harry Salter. Listen again at this same time next week when CBS will bring you the actual story of case DR-095. Up for parole. This is CBS, where you find adventure and glamour with Broadway Is My Beat every Friday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.